Well, we've already heard that ethnic background can affect your chance of getting diabetes. People who are from Asian backgrounds are more likely to develop the condition. But it's not just your ethnicity that can influence your risk of developing diabetes. Religious and cultural beliefs can also impact on how the condition is managed. Veronica Green is a diabetes specialist nurse at the Cromwell Hospital in London.
Most hospital setups are set up to have white Caucasian people, white Caucasian diets and meat and two veg and those sorts of things, and not necessarily set up to have people of different cultures. And so they're not used to the different diets, they're not used to different healthcare beliefs, and they're not necessarily used to different religions and different religious practices that people may have.
So how does that impact on diabetic control?
There are certain religious connotations around food, for example. So, for example, in some Muslim societies, dates are highly prized and people will eat an awful lot of dates. But one date is equal to one spoonful of sugar. So if you eat 10 dates, the impact on someone's blood sugar is enormous. If you're a Hindu, for example, they have something called Kara Prasad, which is made out of glucose, semolina and butter. So again, when they go to temple and they're given this, if you eat all of it, it can put someone's blood sugar up to 20 millimoles very, very easily. So it can make them very high, very thirsty, very symptomatic. And so if the healthcare professional is not aware of these different practices, then they can't advise someone to look after their diabetes and how to react to these different situations and so help them control their blood sugar.
Well, let's take those types of foodstuffs first. What advice would you give to people who need to eat those or want to eat those sorts of things?
Is moderation. There's very, very few things in diabetes that we say you mustn't eat ever. So things like dates, for example, we'd say to have maybe one or two dates a day, but try and spread them out over the day. If you're a Hindu or a Sikh and you go to temple, then by all means take all of the Kara Prasad that you're given, but only have a little bit and spread the rest amongst your family so you're spreading the blessings associated with that food.
Samia Basga is a case in point. She's a Muslim, but because of her diabetes, finds it impossible to observe the traditional fast from sunrise to sunset during the holy month of Ramadan. I asked her what happens when she tries, her daughter Helai interprets. What happens when you fast during Ramadan?
She feels really weak. She can't fast. She feels really dizzy. She gets really sick sometimes. So it's kind of impossible to fast in Ramadan. And sometimes she has to break it as well.
How important is it for you to try and fast?
I get really upset when she can't fast because Ramadan is one of the pillars in Islam. And she wants to do it, you know. It's like a compulsory thing. She wants to do it, but she can't.
In that circumstance, what you need to do, what if someone was on tablets, for instance, I would look at what medication they were on and maybe change the doses slightly so that if they had two tablets in the morning and one tablet in the evening, I would swap those doses around.
Because the risk being, obviously, that if they have their treatment, their insulin or their tablets, and they're not eating, that their blood sugar will go too low, and that's potentially very dangerous.
Yes. I also insist that people test. They have to test their blood sugar far more often when they're fasting than they would do normally.
Do you think doctors in Britain are aware enough of the cultural and religious implications of either a condition or its treatment?
I don't think so. I think that people see a condition, that you have diabetes, but they don't necessarily see the person behind that condition who may be extremely religious of whatever sort of religion, not just Hindus or Muslims. I've had someone who was a Christian and was going hypo on every Sunday, and it took me ages to figure out what was going on.
Well, I'm just sitting here now, and I've got a couple of Muslim families that I look after, and three members of which are diabetic, and I actually haven't considered fasting or anything at all. And they've not discussed it with me either.
Well, sometimes they won't discuss it because they think, well, you're going to tell me not to do it. And so they don't want necessarily to discuss it. They don't want the news that you're going to tell them not to do it. Whereas if they say, well, look, I want to fast, how can I do it safely? And that's a much nicer approach. And now what I tend to do is ask them, are you going to fast? So I'm the person that's bridging that gap. And that helps.
What about the sort of food that you eat? Has the diagnosis made any difference for the sort of food that you eat yourself or prepare for your family?
Her diet is completely different to us because she prepared food for us as well and for herself. So that makes it really hard for her because she has to make like only kind of food for us, and then she has to suffer eating fish and, you know.
Suffer.
Yeah.
I mean, she's eating a healthier diet.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to, you know. She wants to at least have once in a week proper food, like with her family, but she can't have it because of her diet. Especially when our birthdays and some special occasions like Eid is one of the main things. She can't have any sweets or anything like that.
Sounds like you take your diet very seriously, which not all my patients do, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, because we make her as well to have proper diet, you know, because when she's having something bad, she gets really ill, and we don't want her to get ill.
Samir and Hilai Bazga.